1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Mola Lenghi. At the NATO summit in Lithuania, a day after criticizing NATO over its timeline for Ukraine to join the alliance, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's grateful for the long-term military aid to defend against Russian attacks. President Biden met with Zelensky and says he now understands Ukraine will join NATO after the war in Russia ends.
I hope we finally have put to bed the notion about whether or not Ukraine is welcome in NATO. It's going to happen. You're all moving in the right direction. I think it's just a matter of getting by the next few months here.
President Biden will address NATO members this afternoon. On Capitol Hill, FBI Director Christopher Wray testifying at a House hearing and pushing back on criticism over its handling of the Hunter Biden investigation. The Consumer Price Index showing inflation fell to its lowest level in more than 2 years, down 3% in June compared to a year earlier. Prices dropping for many household goods, including gas and groceries. This is ABC News. Iowa Republicans passed a bill banning most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, with some exceptions. The governor says she plans to sign the bill on Friday. The man who admitted to carrying out the Walmart mass shooting in El Paso was handed 90 consecutive life sentences on federal charges. Now, he faces state charges.
The U.S. attorney declined to seek the death penalty after Patrick Crucius agreed to plead guilty to federal charges related to the killing of 23 people at an El Paso Walmart. But El Paso County DA Bill Hicks has made no such promises.
We're ready to get going, seeking that justice for the people of our community.
Now that the federal trial is over, state proceedings can begin.
Well, it moves our calendar up a couple of months.
But the next trial of Patrick Crucius is still at least a year away. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Messaging app Discord is trying to keep teens safe. It launched its Family Center tool, which lets parents know who their child is communicating with. Teens have to allow their parents to see what they're doing. Mola Lenghi, ABC News.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civ Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic Party in Wisconsin has a big fundraising advantage just months before a big election year. The Wisconsin Democratic Party raised more than $13.5 million over the first 6 months of this year. That's more than five times as much as the Republican Party raised. WisPolitics reports more than 94% of the Democrats' donations since the first of the year came from out-of-state donors. Top donors include Reed Hoffman Garrett. He's the founder of LinkedIn. He's given $3.6 million to the Wisconsin Democratic Party since January. After spending, the Democrats have about $420,000 in the bank. Meanwhile, the Republican Party raised a little more than $2.5 million and have about $578,000 on hand. Billionaires are quietly paying for efforts to shrink Wisconsin's social safety net. Luke Mathers has more.
The Foundation for Government Accountability is a Florida-based nonprofit. The FGA is behind several bills that got public hearings in the state legislature in April. They include proposals to roll back unemployment benefits, Medicaid eligibility, and to make it more difficult for people in Wisconsin to vote. Wisconsin Watch reports the FGA has connections with several billionaire donors in Wisconsin. Watchdogs that monitor dark money in politics say FGA is one of many groups bankrolled by a small network of billionaire activists intent on deregulation. Even if the bills pass, Governor Tony Evers is likely to veto them. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
People who rely on Social Security and Medicare say they're concerned about newly proposed changes from a group of Republicans in Congress. Mike Moen has more.
The House Republican Study Committee proposes changes such as raising the retirement age and reducing benefits for above-average earners. Jim Poplosky, a retiree from Racine, says he worked a lot of overtime in his career to have a big enough monthly payment from Social Security. He worries about cuts creating harm for those who paid into the system like him.
We'd put a lot of senior citizens in poverty if they had less Social Security or worse Medicare or prescription coverage.
Four members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation sit on the Republican Study Committee. The panel's report says the ideas are only modest adjustments. I'm Mike Bowen.
There's a new effort to save pollinating insects like honeybees. Population decreases raise concerns about farming and the ecosystem. There is a bill in Congress called the Saving America's Pollinators Act. Lori Ann Bird is with the Center for Biological Diversity. She says the bill coincides with the Environmental Protection Agency's plans to protect 27 of the most vulnerable endangered species from pesticides.
The plan that EPA has released is really an innovative new plan to tackle the threat of pesticides to the endangered species that are most imperiled by pesticides. So the list includes birds, fish, plants, mammals, all species that are especially impacted by pesticides.
In the meantime, Bird says people can do their part to help pollinators by putting flowering plants in their yards and gardens. She says native plants work best. The United States is sending weapons to help Ukraine fight off the Russian invasion, but critics say cluster bombs can spray hundreds of smaller bombs across an entire city block. Megan Rogers is with the group Nonviolent Peace Force. She says cluster bombs don't discriminate between soldiers and innocent bystanders.
Oftentimes they fail to explode within those cities or areas for years to come, with the possibility of exploding later and causing just really devastating harm to civilians.
Dozens of other countries have signed a treaty banning cluster bombs. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. A national nonprofit group says the Oconee County Board is using divisive language in a resolution to support the Second Amendment. According to the Green Bay Press Gazette, the National Freedom from Religion Foundation has asked the county board to remove phrasing from the resolution that insinuates non-religious people are more likely to cause violence. In regard to the issue of separation of church and state, the group says the wording suggests the board shows a bias or favors community members who are religious over those who are not. Those who visit Northeast Wisconsin to hunt and fish will be paying a little more. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources say they finalized their fees for Wisconsin visitors after seeing Governor Evers' state budget last week. That is the first increase in fees for in or out-of-staters in nearly 20 years. The last time in-state fees for hunting and fishing were raised by the state was 2005. For a complete list of game fees, please visit the Civic Media News website. There's updated news on the Leinenkugel strike. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has more.
Workers are still on strike at Leinenkugel's Brewing Company in Chippewa Falls. They rejected the meager wage increases offered on July 10th by beer maker Molson Coors. Local 662 is asking them to respect workers by agreeing to a fair contract. Dan Jackson has worked for the brewery for 16 years. He stated, "We are sick of corporate greed and want a fair and equitable pay increase. We are underpaid given our qualifications and the number of different jobs that we do." 40 workers voted 98% in favor of the strike after their contract ended in May.
A sexual assault survivors monument will be installed in an Appleton park. According to WHBY, the fundraising for the project has been successfully completed. The monument will be built in Ellen Fort Peace Park. Appleton Parks Director Dean Gaza says the project has seen overwhelming support from local businesses and people of all ages. Even though we're all winners, there were no winners in Monday night's Powerball drawing. The jackpot for tonight's drawing jumps to $725 million. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The Chippewa Valley will hit highs today into the low 80s, with mid-70s for the rest of the Northwoods. However, rain-cooled air and a cloudy day will leave the southern and eastern half of the state quite cool, in the low to mid-60s.
Widespread rain has rolled into western and southern portions of the state, with it continuing to spread into central and eastern areas soon, with 1 to 1.5 inches of rain expected to fall today. Some strong storms are also possible along the southern state line. These have the potential to drop 2 to 3 inches of heavy downpours, which could cause localized flooding. These cells also include the risks of frequent lightning strikes. There is also a high fire risk in the central and eastern portions of the state today, from Wood County eastward to Brown County and south into Sheboygan. Please restrict burning. Scattered showers will linger until around midnight, with temperatures dropping to the mid-50s and low 60s. Try to have a wonderful wet Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Nationals finally win the All-Star Game. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night in Seattle, it was the 93rd All-Star Game, baseball's Midsummer Classic. Top of the eighth, Rockies catcher Elias Diaz at the plate. Fox Sports with the call.
2-2 to Diaz is hit in the air to deep left field. Back it goes. Elias Diaz puts the National League in front. At 32 years old in his All-Star debut, a go-ahead home run.
Diaz named the game's MVP as the National League went on to beat the American League for the first time in 10 years, the final 3-2. Milwaukee's Corbin Burnes did not get into the game. The last time that happened for a Brewer was back in 2017. Major League Baseball's draft is over. The Brewers selected 21 players over 3 days. 16 are pitchers, the rest position players. Of the pitchers, the Brewers drafted 12 are right-handers, 4 are lefties. The deadline to sign draft picks is Tuesday, July 25th. NBA Summer League, the Bucks were in the fourth quarter playing the Nets when both Milwaukee's Vin Baker Jr. and Brooklyn's Nick Perkins were charged with technical fouls. Perkins, who'd only been in the game 74 seconds, said something and then was ejected by the ref. The Bucks ended up losing 92-71. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Well, we get in the office, we got to keep our composure, right? Mentally and physically. We got to just keep it together. You know, it happens. It's a very emotional game. I didn't think we quit. I just thought we didn't play well. Well, you know, we didn't play well enough tonight to get the win.
Up next, the Bucks face the Miami Heat Thursday afternoon. NFL Saints running back Alvin Kamara pleads no contest for his involvement in a fight the weekend of the Pro Bowl last year in Las Vegas. Kamara and 3 others accused of beating and kicking a man after he was down. Kamara now looking at community service, a $100,000 settlement with the man, and a possible NFL suspension. Wisconsin's J.J. Watt is going to be on the cover of a box of Wheaties for the first time, but there's a catch. He's got to share it with his younger brother, T.J. Watt, from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's got 1, and we share the box. I'm going to have a conversation with somebody over at Wheaties about this.
Training camp now just 2 weeks away. Packers running back A.J. Dillon says it wasn't his coach, it was his wife, Gabrielle, who inspired him to play harder this season as he enters a contract year.
I had a talk with my wife after last offseason where I kind of felt like last year I was thinking about this contract year and I wasn't playing bad. You can look at like the grades and stuff. I was playing good and playing very efficient. But I wasn't going like all out, if that makes sense. It was not like a bunch of mistakes. It just wasn't really me. And so she went, she turned on my high school highlights, she turned on my college highlights, and she was like, you see that? You see how you're running? That's what we need.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. High of 75, southeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, 61, cloudy. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms, high of 78. Chance for scattered storms Friday, with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered showers and highs in the mid 80s on Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 74.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by the squad on a Wednesday afternoon. We got Luke Mathers in studio. How are you doing today, Luke?
I'm doing well, Will. Glad to be with you on your favorite Wednesday of the week. Glad to see we got some rain coming down here, at least in south central Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin facing 93% of the state facing drought conditions of some level. So some much needed rain here where we're experiencing severe drought conditions. I hope it's going to make a dent in what we need, but also hoping that I can still play some volleyball tonight because it's my favorite Wednesday evening activity. And as long as there's no thunder or lightning, I think I'll be out there.
Luke, I hate to correct you. I love deferring to you when it comes to any type of information, but you are very well aware that Wednesday is not my favorite Wednesday of the week.
No, it's your favorite Wednesday of the week.
The audience knows that. No, it is not. It is my third favorite Wednesday of the week. Friday is and will ever forever be my favorite all Wednesday right, of the week. Right. And we got Aaron on the boards. Aaron, how are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Okay, Aaron.
I'm just glad it's raining, like Luke said. We needed
it.
It's
a different kind of rain, Aaron.
Yeah, I know, but it's the first song that comes to mind.
Not like Umbrella or anything like that, or Dancing in the Rain, or Singing in the Rain, excuse me.
There's a lot of
other raining songs, but there you go. You chose that one. That works too.
It's a groovy tune.
It is a groovy tune. It is. Folks,
there's a lot of rain songs. That's a good point. Now that I'm thinking about that, I can name like 10 of them.
I have an entire rainy day playlist. We went on a road trip with a couple of friends, and there were four of us in the car. And to try to combat the sometimes dreariness that you can have when doing a road trip in the rain, because, you know, you like to be able to drive with the windows down and jam out and have fun, the rain prevents that. So last summer, while in Kansas City, I put together a Spotify playlist that is all rain themed songs, and there's like 50 plus on my playlist, I think. So I'm gonna have to share that with Aaron for some future rainy day inspiration.
Did you have this one on there?
It's like rain.
I believe so, but it kicks off with the all-time rocker by Hillary Duff, Wash Away. No, it's not rain in the title, but it's a rain theme song by Hillary
Duff.
I think
it is Wash Away.
I want to say
Come Clean. It's
Come Clean. There we go. Yeah, I knew it was a slightly water-esque theme, but it was still rain-related. So maybe we'll have to cue that one up later in the show. Folks, if you want to participate in today's Town Call, send us a text. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening across the Civic Media Network. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you on the go. Will, you got a question for the audience today. Let's share it with the people.
I do, in fact, have a question for the audience, Luke. And we briefly touched on it yesterday as the vote had occurred about a half hour before the show started. But on a 12-3 vote yesterday, the Milwaukee Common Council passed the 2% sales tax increase as part of the state shared revenue bill. And my question for you, the people of Wisconsin, is what do you think about Milwaukee Common Council voting to increase the sales tax by 2%? Reading from a piece at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel titled Milwaukee Common Council passes 2% sales tax aimed at averting financial crisis. What began as tense and unpredictable day at Milwaukee City Hall Tuesday ended with the Common Council's backing of a 2% local sales tax by a wider margin than required. The critical vote offers the city a new revenue source to avert major service cuts in 2025, even as some council members said it would put additional financial pressure on residents living in poverty. No part of the process was easy, from the months-long negotiations with elected officials in Madison to local town halls and the debate over a sales tax within the Common Council in the weeks since the state allowed city elected leaders to enact it. Luke, neither of us are in Milwaukee, unfortunately, but we do have two of Milwaukee's best and brightest lined up at the 12:30 mark to come on for segment two of the show. We're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Assemblyman Ryan Clancy. So if you have questions for either of these two extraordinary Milwaukee gentlemen, please don't hesitate to give us a call, 844-967-2789. Luke, I'll defer to you first then. What are your thoughts on the Milwaukee Common Council's vote to increase the sales tax by 2%?
I think it's going to be pretty transformational. I think the ability for Milwaukee to the four strings that were tied to the shared revenue changes that this provided, I think are still going to be challenged in court. There is going to be some contention surrounding those. But the fact that the city and county can now have a boost to its tax base through the sales tax is going to be pretty transformational for what the city can do and what the county can do. There has been a dire need for funding. There has been talks about the Milwaukee County needing to sell off its county parks if it went over the fiscal cliff it was facing without some changes made to the shared revenue formula. There's been the talks about how Milwaukee does not benefit from having things like the 2021 championship Milwaukee Bucks run for the NBA Finals and throughout the NBA playoffs. Milwaukee didn't see the benefits of all of those tens of thousands of individuals going to the city and participating in cheering on the Bucks throughout that run. And so this will make a change. This will be transformational when it comes to what the city and county can do, because there's a lot of eyes on Milwaukee. Yes, 2 years ago we won the NBA Finals. We've got the 2024 RNC coming to town in Milwaukee as well. A very popular TV show, Top Chef, just announced that they are going to record their 21st season here in Wisconsin, split between Madison, Milwaukee, and Door County. And so, like, there's a lot going on in Wisconsin, and for Milwaukee to be able to capitalize on that now, as through its local governments, its city and county being able to have better access to the individuals coming in and spending money in that local economy and use it to pay for services is going to be a big deal. And so I'm very excited to have the conversation with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and State Representative Ryan Clancy. I'm looking forward to it. If you've got questions for those individuals or want to share your thoughts on the city of Milwaukee raising its sales tax 2%, we want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. And if you're listening on the Civic Media app, we got that brand new interface on there. You can call and text right from the app. So be sure, if you're not listening on the app, that you do so, because you can just send us a text right from the app. You can give us a call right from the app. Head over to the Apple and Google Play stores, download the Civic Media app, and give us a call or text here on Town Call today.
Now, Luke, I like that you noted the 2021 Bucks championship run, because, you know, I came down, my friends and I, not that it's a hike or anything. I don't want to make it sound like we traveled multiple hours. It's about a 25 minute drive.
It was uphill both ways. Will had to carry his school desk with him.
Carrying everything. Yes, it was wild. But, you know, we came down to the district and we had a blast. It was so much fun being down there with other Bucks fans celebrating in the district, watching on the big screens that they had laid out outside. And it was packed, right? There were so many people who traveled down to, you know, enjoy the run, to have fun in Milwaukee. And the amount of revenue that I think would have been generated from that, you're right, it would have been immense. Obviously, the 2020 National Convention was unfortunately forced to go hybrid, so we couldn't really use that as another example. But Milwaukee has been the epicenter of American culture a couple of times over the past few years and will be again in 2024. I do have to note, though, Luke, and I think this is a really good point that we're likely going to hear in the next segment, but sales tax in and of themselves are highly, highly regressive. You're putting the budget on the back of poor and working class individuals predominantly. And I wonder, I guess, then if there was the ability to hold out for a better arrangement or if this was the best shot that Milwaukee had to stay afloat. Because as you noted, and as we will likely hear again in the next segment, Milwaukee was facing a pretty dire financial situation. JS Online noted that the potential fiscal cliff was fast approaching, and if something wasn't done, the city would very likely have to cut a lot of programs that really help a lot of Milwaukee citizens.
Milwaukeeans.
Where do you draw the line? Milwaukeeans. Yeah, I was trying to think in my head because I'm so used to going Wisconsinites, and then I was like, Milwaukeeites doesn't sound right.
That's not quite right there. But and it's not just the county facing having to sell off, potentially having to sell off county parks. It was the city of Milwaukee was going to have to fire more than 100 officers, I believe, from the city's police department. It was just a list of services that would have had to be cut if the county pensions, transit, everything would be affected by the fiscal cliff that the city and county were facing, because for far too long the shared revenue formula and its flaws were ignored. They were left to this point, and so the compromise that was struck between the Evers administration and legislative Republicans is what we see now to address this. It's not just Milwaukee that is going to see a boost in this new shared revenue formula either. It's going to be communities throughout the state that will have more money coming to them. But we want to hear your thoughts if you've got them on the 2% increase to the sales tax. Yes, one of the aspects, Will, is sales taxes are regressive. I think it's also important to point out, though, it is a way for individuals that are coming and experience Milwaukee that don't live here to be able to contribute better to the tax base as well. So the fact that tens of thousands of people, those all weren't all Wisconsinites. I've got family down in northern Illinois that were traveling and excited about Giannis and the Bucks in the NBA playoffs throughout 2021. And so people from all over the country are going to be coming for the 2024 RNC. I have a feeling people from all over the country and maybe all over the world are going to be coming for this season of Top Chef. Like, there is going to be a lot of different things that contribute to now this tax base opportunity that the city has through it. And so, yes, there are pros and cons to all of these policy decisions, Will. I think it's important to be talking about them. We're really excited to be joined by Dan Schaefer and Representative Clancy coming up to have this conversation. If you've got questions for them, we want you to ask them. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. And Will, It is interesting to see. I believe the county is still set to take a vote on this as well. The city, not the only one, but there's still some fallout from this shared revenue deal. But yesterday's city council vote by Milwaukee City Council, definitely the next step in addressing the shared revenue questions here in the state.
Yeah, and Luke, you touched on out of state. That was a really good point that I hadn't even been considering, particularly with, people that are within an hour of the Milwaukee border. It's so easy to come up and enjoy a city like Milwaukee, but the suburbs as well. There's been a lot of heated debate at the state level regarding the suburbs, and this is their way to contribute into the city's coffers as well. So just to note, 12-3 final vote. We're going to be talking with Dan Schaefer and Ryan Clancy after the break. You're not going to want to miss this. These are two of Milwaukee's absolute best. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you after the break.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mola Lenghi. At the NATO summit in Lithuania, a day after criticizing NATO over its timeline for Ukraine to join the alliance,
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's grateful for the long-term military aid to defend against Russian attacks. President Biden met with Zelensky and says he now understands Ukraine will join NATO after the war in Russia ends.
I hope we finally have put to bed the notion about whether or not Ukraine is welcome in NATO. It's going to happen. We're moving. You're all moving in the right direction. I think it's just a matter of getting by the next few months here.
President Biden will address NATO members this afternoon. On Capitol Hill, FBI Director Christopher Wray testifying at a House hearing and pushing back on criticism over its handling of the Hunter Biden investigation. The Consumer Price Index showing inflation fell to its lowest level in more than 2 years, down 3% in June compared to a year earlier. Prices dropping for many household goods, including gas and groceries. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
The fire that tore through Washera County Monday night actually started days ago. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Information Officer Amy Penn said someone failed to fully extinguish a burning debris pile a few days ago. As of yesterday morning, the fire is estimated to have burned 833 acres and destroyed 3 homes and 17 other structures. Some people had to be evacuated and are without a place to live at the moment. And 8 firefighters were treated for smoke inhalation. The DNR says due to lack of rain, fire conditions in Washera and surrounding counties remains high.
There is news on the condition of a child who fell into a bonfire in Fond du Lac last Saturday. Authorities say the child is a 1-year-old boy and that the incident happened in a backyard. The boy is recovering at a Madison hospital. Officials say he suffered burns to his arms and upper body, but his condition is improving. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are talking Milwaukee Common Council and the increased 2% sales tax. We are joined today by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Rep. Ryan Clancy. Gentlemen, how are you doing on this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So let's jump right into it. We might have been able to flip a coin or something. Luke and I generally do rock, paper, scissors on who goes first, but I didn't give the two of you the option for that. So we'll go alphabetically, I guess, and we'll start with Rep. Clancy. What are your thoughts on the 12-3 Common Council vote? to increase the sales tax in Milwaukee by 2%.
So I should say at the beginning that the city side and the county side votes are very different. I think this is the most.
Representative, we may have to have you call in. We may have to have you share the number because it sounds like the connection here between your Zoom and the show isn't the greatest right this second.
No worries. I'll give you a call real quick.
Okay, sounds great. But yes, so we got a representative giving us a call here on Town Call. You can also do that, 844-967-2789. If you've got questions for Representative Clancy or Dan Schaefer, author over at the columnist, author. He's not really an author.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Choosing my words, but columnist over at the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. We're talking the city of Milwaukee raising its sales tax by 2%, 844-967-2789. I guess up next in alphabetical order, Dan, your thoughts on the city vote yesterday to raise the sales tax.
Yeah, I think this was a really, really important moment for city government in Milwaukee. And I think, you know, the state gave the city one narrow option to address its looming fiscal cliff and its revenue crisis through the option of raising the sales tax by 2%. And I think it was a really important vote by the members of the Milwaukee Common Council to do the smart, responsible thing to vote in favor of raising the sales tax. They needed to hit that 2/3 threshold that was the part of the negotiations with the state of what they needed to do to be able to raise that sales tax. They did so with a 12-3 vote. There's a lot that I think people have justifiably been upset with the shared revenue deal and the kind of anti-local control measures in that deal that hamstrings Milwaukee in a variety of different ways. And I think people are once it came down to, but that vote has already, those things have already been passed down, passing the deal by the governor signing the bill. There's really no way to go back at that legislatively at the city level. So once this vote came to the city, it was really important, to pass it and to live to fight another day. And this is how the city has an opportunity to live to fight another day and to raise these taxes to address this looming shortfall would really go a long way towards shoring up finances that and otherwise the city would be looking at 25% across the board cuts. You know, the Common Council went through an exercise not too long ago to look at what exactly it would mean to have those cuts. And that would be up, close to 900 jobs that would be eliminated. That would mean 10 of the city's 13 library branches would be closed. That would mean closing more than half of all fire stations in the city. So these are really deep, devastating cuts. And, that's before even talking about just the day-to-day stuff, trash pickup, snow removal, filling potholes, all those different kinds of things that city government is responsible for would get demonstrably and immediately worse if not passing this deal. So there are so many policy things that I think, people in Milwaukee are vehemently disagree with. I think they're justified in that disagreement. But with the new liberal majority on the state Supreme Court, that will open up an avenue to challenge some of these things through a lawsuit. And so passing this sales tax gives the city an option to fight another day. So maybe there's a way to push back on some of these requirements through the legal system. But in order to shore up those finances, to put the city on firm footing in the long term, it had to vote yes on this. And I'm very happy that it did. It's really a great day for the city of Milwaukee because this was the existential threat threatening the very future of the city. And the Common Council members making this vote, I think, made the smart, responsible move.
Folks, I really loved your analogy, Dan, to live to fight another day, because that's I made a very similar video in regards to the 2020 presidential election. Why? Well, a lot of people were saying, you know, why are you supporting Joe Biden? It was essentially that it buys us 4 more years to kind of build up the movement at the ground level that we need.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. Oop, go ahead, Dan. Just trying to get the show idea.
It's going
to
be interesting to see, you know, Janet Protasiewicz will be seated in August. And once that happens, you know, it will open up open up the doors to have a host of different legal challenges. And I think, you know, even members in Milwaukee, you know, stakeholders in Milwaukee who might not necessarily be, you know, the most liberal members or something like that have signed on board to say, yeah, we want to challenge these things. These are anti-local control measures. I saw a comment from Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky yesterday saying, you know, is he on board with the legal challenges? And he said, absolutely, 100%. To challenge some of the anti-local control stuff, the stuff about the fire and police commission, the stuff blocking funds for the streetcar, all the different, you know, anti-DEI and just all the different things that, you know, the Republicans and the state legislature insisted on being part of this deal. And I think, you know, the stuff that was passed is not on firm legal footing with, you know, some of the home rule, legalese that's out there that I think could be challenged. So live to fight another day is the way that I've been characterizing this. And I think, you know, at the state legislature, I think it makes sense to vote against that deal. But at the city level, at the local level, I don't really think it makes much sense because you're not able to do anything to address those policy measures that were so problematic within the shared revenue deal.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined on this Wednesday afternoon by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, as well as State Representative Ryan Clancy. It looks like we've got a better connection over the phone lines. Representative, can you hear us?
I can, and thank you. And thanks for bearing with me through the bad connection there. I think Dan and I agree on the broad strokes of the really terrible shared revenue bill, right? It was the right thing to vote against, but at the state, I did so. And I've got to say, it was a failure of leadership that we ended up with what we had for that shared revenue bill. Yeah, the attacks on DEI just by itself should have been enough to get all the folks at that table to get up and leave and say, no, we are not going to negotiate on a package of things that has DEI in it or that has, you know, taking away the basics of police accountability through the Fire and Police Commission, or for that matter, that forces Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to tax their poorest residents in this very regressive way in exchange, you know, instead of essentially providing more of our own shared revenue back to us. We were capped at, you know, very little of our own shared revenue, whereas every other municipality and county got 20, sometimes 1,000 or 5,000% more. So it was a bad deal. I think we should have handled it better. I didn't have any excitement. And frankly, think that the governor should have vetoed it. But I'm glad that we have broad agreement here. And I think most people in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County realize what a terrible deal that the broader package was. But we're also right in that what we have in front of us is two separate things. So we have the 2% at the city, which is going to be law. It's going to happen January 1st. But we have a separate 0.4% sales tax at the county level, where I'm also a county supervisor. And where yesterday we had a really big discussion, we had a presentation about the effects on departments and the effects on kind of the bottom line of the county. But what was by and large missing from that was the effects of this really regressive tax on individuals, on households, and on the people that need relief the most. So fortunately, the county is not in the same dire situation that the city was and is. And in fact, a lot of that dire situation is due to the massive burgeoning of police debt. It's bad and not getting much of our own money back. But the idea that a solution to more to police debt is more cops forever, which was part of that larger package, but also not making reasonable cuts to police is not good fiscal policy. And I think this will buy the city some more time. It was a much more difficult vote there. But at the county side, it's an easy no for me. We are not in the same dire situation that the city was. And we have time, as Dan noted, to wait for Protasiewicz to get seated on that court, to get fair maps, and to get the fair representation that would bring more of our own dollars back to Milwaukee County. And we can do that because our fiscal cliff is a few years in the future. The city's was much more in our face.
And so, as we noted, this problem has been, this isn't a new problem that the state of Wisconsin was facing. This is, the flaws in the shared revenue formula have been something that has been talked about for a while now, but not necessarily to the degree until last year. It seemed to be a top priority for Governor Tony Evers in his bid for re-election. And so it seemed like, though, at the same time, there wasn't a whole lot more time for the city to be able to address this problem. Do you believe there was enough time, Representative Clancy, for the city to wait out for a better deal?
Honestly, that would have been a really much more difficult vote for me. I cannot tell you how I would have voted if I was an alder, and I'm glad that I'm not. And I think faced with the decision between, yeah, having really immediate cuts, I mean, immediate cuts to the likes that we wouldn't see at the county, or having to saddle my residents for 30 years with this incredibly regressive tax is frustrating. And, you know, the data that we have shows that poor residents, so people making $20,000 a year, are going to be paying seven times more as a percentage of their income towards this sales tax as somebody on the top end of the earners. And that's a decision that nobody at the city should have been faced with. And I don't fault folks who voted yes or no at the city side. That is it's a terrible decision, and the fact that it was put to them in that way is really kind of a failure of leadership all over.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter, joined by State Representative Ryan Clancy and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, talking about the City of Milwaukee Common Council voting yesterday to raise the sales tax in the city by 2%. If you've got thoughts, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You can call or text here across the Civic Media Network. And Will, it seems like, as you pointed out, the regression aspect of the sales tax is something that was at the forefront of State Representative Clancy's mind as well. And that's not the only impact, though. There are going to be a lot of... This is one step in the process of addressing these problems. This does not... The fiscal cliffs that are there are still, as State Representative Clancy pointed out, still there for the county. The city is still going to have to figure out a lot of different problems around shared revenue and what this is going to mean for the city. This is going to be something we're going to be keeping an eye on and the funding formula going forward now. But it is absolutely an interesting day to keep an eye on where the city and county go from yesterday's vote. If you've got thoughts on them, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Dan, we've only got a couple of seconds here before the break, but anything you'd like to contribute to Representative Clancy's comments before we head into the commercial?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot that I agree with the representative on, but I do disagree that the cliff for the county is not as urgent. I think I just recently wrote a big long story about the bus system in Milwaukee, and that is something that is being threatened right now. So I think, you know, maybe we can get into that after the break, but that is a point where I would disagree with Mr. Clancy on.
That sounds like something we will be getting on after the break. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs around 74. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight 61. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 78. High temperatures reach up to 83 Friday. Chance for scattered rain showers 84 on Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are joined today by State Representative Ryan Clancy and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, we got a little bit more time to go back to you now to make the point that you were starting before the break. If you'd like to, please continue.
Yeah, so there's differences, of course, between the vote at the city level and the vote at the county level. I think the vote happening at the city level, you know, was really going to stave off some very immediate, very devastating cuts that would happen to the public sector in the city of Milwaukee. The urgency is, you know, it wouldn't happen next year necessarily for county government, for all sectors of county government, but there is a looming fiscal cliff in county government as well. I'm going to quote County Executive David Crowley here in his State of the County speech earlier this year. He said, quote, by 2027, we are projected to have no local dollars to fund local services. That's a pretty alarming statement. So that means, you know, so many of the services that the county delivers, things like transit, things like parks, would be at risk without a long-term financial solution. And the increase in the sales tax at the county level, much smaller than the one at the city level. Yes, a sales tax is regressive. Yes, it is not the best option, but unfortunately is the only option available to us. And I think by, you know, doing a smart, responsible thing that the city did yesterday and voting to increase the sales tax is something that the county should do when it takes its vote later this month. Increase the sales tax so that things like the bus system, which is currently undertaking a Save the Bus campaign because its long-term future is threatened, can be dealt with. You know, we're facing cuts to the park system, facing cuts to the bus across the board, incredibly important services that would not be able to be delivered in just a couple years' time. So I think it's going to be really important for the county board to also reach that two-thirds threshold to vote to fund services in the public sector as well.
Mm-hmm. And WISN notes that limited income families will feel the tax increase the hardest. City officials estimating family incomes between $15,000 and $30,000 a year will pay an additional $230 a year in sales tax, while families making between $40,000 and $50,000 will pay an estimated $365 per year. It sounds like the two of you are in agreement that it was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place in this situation. But Rep. Clancy, do you have any other ideas for what might have been a more immediate solution potentially, or what would you respond to what Dan just said?
I agree in substance with almost everything that he's saying. In fact, you know, pointing to the drastic cuts that would take place in 2027 if we did nothing and there weren't any other avenues is fair, it's accurate. And we are hearing about kind of worst-case scenarios from MCTS, you know, the folks that run the buses. If other departments had the means to do that like MCTS does, we'd also be seeing really dire pictures from parks. Like, we'd be hearing from the zoo that they're going to have to sell off the zebras and have a zebra meat sale in order to make ends meet. All of these things are really bad, but they also assume that we're doing nothing, that there are no other pathways to get us in the black before those things happen, and that's just not accurate. So the way that Act 12 is written does not force us, doesn't compel us to take a vote this month on yes or no. What we could do, and what I'm in favor of, is saying, you know what, like, Rhoda Saywood is going to be seated in August. There is a pathway that we get fair maps, and there's a pathway that we get representation that gives us more of our own dollars back. And essentially, you know, we can go much more into the shared revenue, but we probably don't have time to, and say that Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are subsidizing the rest of the state. A Democratic majority would turn that around and say, you know what, the rest of the state needs that shared revenue, but so does Milwaukee, and they wouldn't look at a $7 billion surplus and try to use it to starve, you know, the economic engine of the state. So we don't need to decide on this right now. We don't need to saddle our poorest and working class residents with 30 years of bad tax policy. We can wait 3 months or 6 months or 9 months and try to feel out what's going to happen at the Supreme Court, what's going to happen with those maps, because the worst of these cuts are years down the line. So I know that there are a lot of people who have been working to tax us in this way for a long time that are doing this action imperative thing. We need to decide this right away, but that's not responsible. So this will be likely in front of a finance committee later on this month. It'll be in front of the full board. I think the responsible thing to do here is not to commit to 30 years of regressive taxation, but to say we know that these cuts, you know, are coming if we do nothing. But the decision here is not 30 years of bad tax policy or doing nothing. It's waiting to see what the political landscape looks like. And we can make, you know, if a year from now or 6 months from now or 9 months from now, it looks like there's no path to get us more responsible revenue through shared revenue or other means, I become a yes on this vote, right? But right now I'm a no, because right now we have other options available to us. And we need to expand the conversation beyond this really binary thing, because it's not.
And gentlemen, I'd like to take a call. We have Karina from Milwaukee calling in to hear. Karina, do you have a question for either Dan or Ryan in regards to the sales tax increase?
Yes, I do have a question and a couple things. Well, first of all, Milwaukee already giving money to Wisconsin State. So why wouldn't we just give a little bit less money for the next 2 years? For example, not 67 or 68 cents on the dollar, but maybe 90 cents on the dollar, because we're the ones who actually put the most in the government budget. There is also $4 billion we're sitting on, which is also a Wisconsinized money. Why wouldn't they just buy us out? Because all these problems existed through Walker policies. And in the end of the day, it seems to be, okay, well, fine, we're going to give another 6 months for Milwaukee people to pay those taxes. And they already did that a couple times.
Sorry to cut you off, Karina. We want to give the state representative and Dan a quick chance to respond. We only got a minute left. Ryan, your thoughts on the leftover surplus, $4 billion that could be potentially used to address this problem as well.
The caller is entirely correct. We should be taking those dollars and giving them back to where they came from, which is predominantly Milwaukee, rather than sitting on it and hoarding it. Those dollars could do real good here right now, and it's inequitable that Republicans are continuing not to put the money back where it came from.
Perfect. We appreciate that. Dan, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think it touches on an important point, is that this problem that Milwaukee City and County are facing is something that is largely state-created. But unfortunately, we don't have we have to be realistic about this, and we have to center these conversations in reality. And the reality is that this is the option that we have. And so we have to do that, accept that option and live to fight another day.
Appreciate you both joining us on Town Call. State Representative Ryan Clancy, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Town Call will be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255. This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media app.
I'm